Because when a kid comes in, the psychologist comes in and reads their backstory, and a lot of their backstories would make you cry.
Really?
I mean, just cry.
Like,
man.
What kind of stuff?
Like, a kid was held in a basement and chained up and fed dog food. That was one of the things. It's like he was fed dog food and kept in a basement until, like, human services came, child protective services came in and removed him from the home.
And then the dog finally got his food?
The dog finally got the dog.
So mean.
But, I mean, that's okay, the kind of...
That would never happen to you. I would get separate dog food for you.
The situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the state. So
welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. My name's Ari Shaffir. How are you guys doing? I'm doing great because it's springtime. You can feel it. Oh, I should get my Pit Viper glasses. I should get my Pit Viper glasses for this. Being springtime and all and sunny like this, I'm not going to do it. You know what? I realized too late and I'm not going to start over. It's time for rebirth. That's what spring is known for. You should feel in the city, guys. It got over 60 degrees today. It was like 61 degrees. When it's over 60 degrees, we can all feel the city. Not the whole country will understand what I'm talking about. And in fact, not the whole world. Parts of the country, like what's six, you know, why would it not get to 60 degrees every day? And maybe in the UK, when I say 60 degrees, you're like, I don't even know what that means. What's 60 degrees? Is that of separation to Kevin Bacon? We play it a different way, they'll say, in the UK. Where I'm going to be April 27th, 29th, and 30th in Glasgow, London, and Manchester. And then we play it a different way, they'll say. They say we play 5 degrees of separation to Princess Diana. Did you know she died in a car accident running from paparazzi? I thought they were going to... is paparazzi still a thing? Anyway, one time I was talking to some fucking hot chick, dude, at the Comedy Store. She was hot, and she was from one of those Eastern Bloc countries, so you know she's been fucking, she was 14. I mean, hot, and, you know, trying to impress her, and TMZ's there, and they come over, and they go, Ari, when you're done with the conversation, would you mind if we get an interview? Now, this is 14 years ago. So I was like, sure. Finished the conversation, you know, she went home, did not end up scoring, but it did get me somewhere. It got me closer. And then I went to the TMZ guy and I go, you don't actually want to talk to me, do you? He goes, no, I was waiting for someone famous and I figured I'd hook you up by saying you're important enough to be interviewed. And I was like, well, that did hook me up. It did hook me up. But not to the point of getting hooked up because I didn't hook up with that chick. I failed. I played it just terribly. That's not the point. The point is it's springtime in New York and everybody feels it. It's rebirth. Things are new again. And one of the best new things is Mike Vecchione, who has a new special out right now called The Attractives. What a great time to be a stand-up comic. The best comics in the world, like Mike Vecchione. Next week will be Big J on April 5th. But right now it's Mike Vecchione time. Comics like Mike Vecchione before had to go through gatekeepers and probably couldn't get through to get a special. Now they can all just make their specials. The best comics in the world are able to make their specials. It's fucking wild. So you got to go on YouTube right now. Go Mike Vecchione's The Attractives. It was directed by known Christian Nate Bargatze. He still refuses to apologize on behalf of Christianity for the Crusades. Many, many Arabs died, and Nate is still silent on the subject. Why, Nate? Do you think it was right? Do you think it was right to step foot in Jerusalem with a ham sandwich and kill all these Arabs? Do you know a ham sandwich is offensive? To the culture that was there. Well, I guess not most of the culture there. No, both. They all hate it. You're going to bring a ham... sure, killing, dude. That's part of war. That's part of religion. But you bring a ham sandwich there, that's fucking above and beyond, bro. So, I don't know, Nate. I feel like you should say something about it. You should speak to the subject. If you go to Mike Vecchione's special and want to leave a comment, I suggest hold Nate to task on those comments. Say, why have you not denounced... the Crusades. Talk about somebody who died in the Crusades. If you want, actually do that. Get in there. Get really in there. It might annoy Nate. It might really annoy him. He probably wants to just hear how his directing was. I was at the special taping. It was great, dude. Me, Shane, Sal, Big J, we were all there. Soder. And, you know, Nate, it was like, oh, it was such a fucking fun hangout. What a great time for stand-up comedy. It really is. I don't think you guys understand this. We couldn't get our shit made before. And the thought to even be able to afford doing it on your own. And then where would it even go? I've done more on my own than with a company. First one, then Comedy Central, then my own that I sold to Netflix, and then my own again. Oh, I got to tell you about The Beacon. What a glorious show. My parents showed up. Everybody was there. Friends, family, mob. The biggest show I've ever done in my life. What a fucking fun time. Secret guests, I brought up. I started first. Oh, if you saw the intro, if anybody saw the intro that night, if you were lucky enough to be in your seat, tell me I didn't fucking put on a spectacular for you. What a fun time. We worked on it. Thank you, Jade, the dancers. And then the guests, I don't want to ruin how I did it, but the secret comic guests were Joe List, Joe DeRosa, and Andrew Schultz, in that order, one after another. Yeah, the crowd went nuts. Like, nice. They went nuts. Dude, it's so interesting when you find out your friends that have gotten famous, just how famous they are. Going to a Yankee game with DeStefano, and you're like, oh, right, you're way bigger. I knew you had gotten more popular, but I don't see you in this environment. They went nuts for Schultz. It's cool to see. It is cool to see. I mean, I know it objectively in my head that he's that big. You can see the numbers on his podcasts, you know, on Flagrant, and the numbers on his special. I think that's the most watched YouTube special of all time by a non-Indian. Definitely the last 2 years. Nope. Did I lock myself out? I did not. But then you see the response, and like that's more real to me than numbers on a fucking bottom of a video. Videos like The Attractives by Mike Vecchione. Get in there now. Take Nate to task. God, that was a fucking fun show. What a fun time. DeRosa catered the event afterwards. DeRosa in some local pizza place. I just like, it was just such a celebration. I haven't put on a show that I'm not taping that I cared so much about in a long fucking time. And it was such a fucking, the crowd was nuts. You guys were fucking nuts. I mean, legitimately, I always think the clubs are so much better than theaters, but that theater, I don't know. You gotta rethink it. You gotta rethink. I don't think you can do only theater. Ah, okay, I'm talking inside my own head now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. Well, I got Mike Vecchione and talk about his days as a teacher in a fucking bad kid's school. Mike the fucking wrestler Vecchione. Pudge, Chuck, he's like Chuck, I don't know, he's like square. It looks like a can of, Foster's beer. That's a fair assessment. Mike Vecchione looks like a can of Foster's beer. Sorry, dude. But anyway, we had a great conversation. He told me all about like being a fucking, he was just a fucking bruiser. He was an enforcer in the Philadelphia teaching at the bad kids schools. I don't know, the special eds and the fucking the kids who are like, I don't give a fuck. I had a great New York playlist. When I do these theaters, I choose a playlist of all musicians in their towns. I go over it. Bands that I like, new bands I discovered by looking, and then it was a good one. We got in Lisa in there. Finished with Pharoah Monch and Jump in the Line, Helly Belafonte, and I don't know, there's a bunch of the LCD Sound System for sure. I had to leave some bands out. New York has a lot of good bands. Let's start the fucking episode, you guys. It was great. Great episode and a great special. Pause right now, go watch, at least go click on The Attractives, and it'll remind you to watch it again. If you don't feel like watching it right now, just go click on it right now, and so that way YouTube will be like, do you want to get back to watching this later? Which you should, because Mike is one of the best. I'm not saying that lightly. But his special in 2017, it was a CD. It was, everyone was like, that was the album of the year. And everybody was saying that. And it was because they were calling it a throwback, because it was just jokes. All of us envy his joke writing. It's like you see him, you're like, fuck, it's just so well done. And I know you guys are going to love it. So go watch The Attractions right now. And then come right back here and let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 511, I think. Wait, I had a name for it. Not School Days. Yeah, maybe School Days. Oh, Professor Payne. That's it. Professor Payne with Mike Vecchione. Oh, I remember One for Once. I remember one. Starts now. Go watch.
I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. Don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I got a new chick that I gotta thank God for. I got a new whip that I gotta thank the lot for. Yeah, I got a lot, but want a lot more. Yeah, we in the building, but I'm trying to take it to the top floor. I swear I hear some new bullshit every day I'm waking up.
It's like the overly Italian thing where it's like, No, I can't sit with my back to the door. Because you're at risk for an assassination. That's right. I remember now that you're the one who's like might be assassinated because of your ties to the family.
It's all nonsense.
Oh my God. Literally nobody from the mafia would ever tell you they're in the mafia.
Yeah, not only that, it's like they don't kill each other anymore.
They don't?
No. There is a moratorium on murder because it just carries too long of a sentence.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they just stopped. Imagine they could have just not done it in the first place.
Wow.
But they were like, yeah, this is too much jail time. So there's too many cooperators. So they just go, okay, we're just not going to talk to you anymore.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's a way that's worse than death.
Yeah. You got a timeout.
Mike Vecchione has a new special out right now on YouTube called, hold on, let me guess. Dumb fucking Guinea who's trying to get away from his past. Is that
oh
it?
Oh my God.
I forgot the exact title. What is it?
The Attractives.
The Attractives.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The Attractives?
The Attractives.
Oh, nice.
It's hot people can watch it, but if you're not hot, you could also watch it. So it's good.
Is this about, is this Attractives? What's that? Which one bit's that from? Is that from the,
you know, when we had to wear masks and people couldn't tell that we were attractive and it was very hard for attractive people back then because we're used to being treated differently because we are attractive.
That is who we are. And they took that from us.
Yeah. And they took that from us. They tried to extend it by going, you still need to wear it. It's like, I smell ugly.
Uggos. That's right. Yeah. These people in Wuhan, they all look the same anyway. Yeah. Cut that.
Edit right there. Whatever the timestamp is.
They didn't have this issue.
They didn't have. Was it a lab? Was it not a lab? I'm waiting for COVID the musical where Nathan Lane plays Dr. Fauci.
It's so funny.
Everything becomes a musical a couple years later now, doesn't it?
Musical. There's Game of Thrones a musical.
Rocky the musical?
It's not, but there should be.
Wow. And it never happened, so it's a musical now?
It's a fantasy. Got Game of Thrones. But go right now. Mike's been the fucking, I know you're going to be uncomfortable, but you're one of the best comics in the country, in the city, definitely.
Thank you, buddy.
Guaranteed good time. Click on it right now and support this kind of shit. What is it? Nate Bargatze YouTube?
Nate Bargatze, Nate Land YouTube. Yeah. And I'll get you the link.
Okay. I'll post it. There'll be a link right here right now.
But Mike Vecchione Attractives should be enough to get it to the YouTube page. Nate Land.
Actually, why don't you leave in the comments maybe a small story on how you've been bullied or singled out because of the level of attraction you have.
Yes.
This one time I was on the subway, which reminds me, I was getting on the subway, I was going down the steps.
Yeah.
Somebody was shitting on the bottom step.
Right.
And I looked and he goes, what are you looking at? As he was like, I think shitting and wiping, scoop wiping.
Right.
And that's what I have to deal with as an attractive person.
Yeah.
You know, he must have been like, wow, what are you looking at? I didn't expect to have someone so beautiful looking at me.
But he was making a point. It's like, don't you take a morning dump?
Don't,
and you're judging me because this is my home, the second tier of the stairs going down to the end.
We can't all be as attractive as you are, is what he's saying, subtext.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it depends how you look at it. That could be art. That's art now, by the way. And it's sexy and therefore high-end attractive.
I mean, in a way it is.
Yeah. Maybe you're just not cultured. Do you ever turn your judgment onto yourself?
Oh, I'll be like, all maybe right. I'm just not cultured and that's the issue here.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, that's my privilege and my right as an American.
I love these buzzwords. It's your privilege. It's your right.
That's San Francisco's chief export is buzzwords.
Yeah, I love it.
Microaggression, like that's what they give to the world.
It felt like you were throwing shade at that guy
throwing shade.
Who was trying to just stay regular and probably had a lot of fiber.
Did you name check him? Anyway, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
It's been
buddy.
A while. Is Megabus on this one?
No, Megabus is on the one that we did, which I am going to, I swear I'm going to release
now,
because everybody puts so much work into it, and I will release that on my YouTube page.
Yeah, you've got probably like 6 to 9 months and then hit you up with a follow-up, which is
I never had children, but I like to do everything the time it takes to have a baby. Months, I will give birth to another one.
The gestation period, special.
Gestation is a huge word. Can your fans? I mean, my fans are low-income whites, so I don't think that they understand that kind of vocabulary. But I love calling people low-income whites. That's my favorite. That's my
new
favorite
title for a special.
My favorite thing to do now: low-income whites.
Because it's like no excuses, whites.
No, and I have I do that in my set. And I had a woman, an African American woman, come up to me, and she goes, "I was in Colorado." She goes, "I'm an affluent African American woman." I go, "Let me ask you this: did you come to my show?" She goes, "Yeah." I go, "You're a low-income white. You're living as an African-American woman, but that's your identity is low-income white."
You were a teacher for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Special ed?
No. Special ed, behavioral and emotional disabilities.
I dated a chick who did that. It was fun. Autistic therapy stuff. How'd you get into it, first of all? When was this?
I got into it because I graduated from college with a criminal justice degree. And with a criminal justice degree, you really can't do anything with it. You can become, I guess, a parole officer, probation. You can go to the police academy to become a cop, I guess. You
that
can go to
like
law
a lot
school.
Of fun from the movies I've seen.
The police academy?
Yeah. It seems like a lot of hijinks and special sound effects.
I liked Citizens on Patrol. That was my favorite
the best one.
Yeah. Hightower.
Yeah.
And Tackleberry.
Tackleberry
was the guy who'd shoot everything.
He was just ready with the guns.
Yeah.
That chick who was in love with him because he had the fucking giant guns.
Those are great movies, actually.
I gotta go back.
Couldn't
and
be
watch
made
it.
Today.
There's definitely gonna be some shot. I just remember the best part was that if you're chasing a perp or and then they run it and you accidentally go into the gay bar, the Blue Oyster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the door closed behind you and it was like gulp because you were gonna get legally raped. You went into a gay bar.
But that's actually how gay bars were back then. I mean, I don't think there was any exaggeration. I forgot about that. And they called that back throughout the movie.
Yeah.
So
great. I got to write down these fucking musical notes. Where's my goddamn notebook? Didn't I have it somewhere? Maybe I left it outside. So you got into it. Keep talking.
I got into it and I went to, had a criminal justice degree. Couldn't do anything with it. Without some other training, it felt like. So I needed a job because the girl I was with was moved to Philadelphia to go to law school. So I wanted to move to Philadelphia to be with her. And I got a job at an adjudicated school.
What does that mean?
A school for kids when they commit a crime, depending on what crime they commit, assault, stealing a car, battery, that kind of a thing. They have a choice to either go to lockup or they could go to this school. And this school was a legendary school. It took everybody in the country. It took kids from all different states. They had contracts with the different states. So they'd have, it was a lot of gang kids. So they have kids from Philadelphia, which was close by. They would have kids from Michigan, California, Texas, a lot of Texas kids.
They'd bus them away from their...
Not bus them. They'd fly them in and they would, instead of going to lockup, they would do a year and a half at this school. It was great. It was a great program.
Did they have my friend went to Mark Twain? He was so bad at this Jewish school. They sent him to Mark Twain.
Yeah.
And Mark Twain, tell me if this is like this or not. It had a system of like you move up and down in status with good behavior and bad behavior.
Yeah.
And then you lose privileges.
That's kind of what it was.
Wow.
But it was a program where it was like you could, there was level, they did levels of confrontation. And one of the levels of confrontation when it gets more serious is you could touch the kids for attention. So you could put your hands on them if necessary because these kids were rough kids.
You had to.
So, but the place really ran well for a long, it's closed now because of the age that we live in. And I think there were some scandals there also. So I don't really know the story.
You're always going to end up having a few like sexual abuses. When you have power over kids, you have somebody like, let's take advantage.
Right. I don't know if it was sexual abuses. I think it was like too far. Yeah, it was too far physically. So, yeah, you're going to have that. But the program when I was in it was just run really great. It was a great, great program. So I learned a lot with that. But you don't, you, outside of that program, it's like you have, you want to build your skill set. I used to tell kids that when I taught. It's like the whole goal is to build your skill set so that you're marketable and that you could make money in the economy. So it's like I had a lot of kids who weren't good in traditional school, but they had trades and that kind of a thing. It's like, yes, it's like build your vocational education and get as many degrees or whatever certificates as you can. It's going to make you so marketable when you go out in the world. You don't have to like go to college. You don't have to go to law school. It's like just you just lock onto something and learn all you can about it to make yourself the most marketable in the economy. And you could make a great living. You could start your own business. It's like it's endless. Yeah.
Me and Ryan O'Neill were driving from somewhere to somewhere. We drove through Michigan State, and my somebody I know was going there.
Right.
So we went and hung out and smoked weed in his dorm. You know, it's like frat house, whatever. It was fun. Told the pledges they came in to go face, and they got to lay on their face. I'm like, what's this fucking 47-year-old telling me face? But I loved it, dude. I was a bully instantly. But we were like thinking about when we left, we're like, what would you tell these kids, these 21-year-old kids, to actually about life? And we were both like, don't worry about your grades so much. Right. Get good grades.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Because what you're actually getting here is like lifelong friendships.
Yes.
Which is way more important.
That's the experience. Yeah, that's the experience of college. Everybody's like, oh, there's people who go, college isn't important now. And unless you're specializing in something, I agree. It's not, if you're just getting a general liberal arts degree.
The education is not that.
The education is not, unless you're an engineer, a teacher, unless you're like specifically going for something. But if you're just getting a liberal arts degree like I got, yeah, it's not. Like,
but what
you
is
can
important?
Get a criminal justice degree, you can get that online now, I think. You know, so it's not that, but the experience is what you were saying is the most important.
Learn how to have a glass of water every third beer, you know, shit like that, where you have to learn by experience. You can't do as well. It's embarrassing.
Learn not to get arrested. Yeah. Yes. But have a great time and meet a lot of people. You start to, you know, when you move away from your family, you start coming into your own as your own person. You don't really know who you are with your family because you're within the context of that family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you get on your own, you really find out who you are. And you find out how different everybody else was raised.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize, like, oh, I thought everybody ate dinner at 6 at night, and if they didn't, they better have a good reason, or they were going to get raped over the coals. Or, you know what I mean? Or, like, made, like, you know, that's not the way everybody was brought up.
Yeah. When you saw these kids, these troubled kids, you call them that, do you see any of them, like, flourish outside of their fucking, you know, predisposed areas?
Yeah, yeah, but... It all starts from like home, like what kind of there's different levels of kids coming in.
Yeah.
But the kids who've had some kind of a basic structure and were just a little bit lost, those kids are like sometimes do great.
Because they needed some structure.
Yeah. And then you have kids, different level of likability. You have kids who are like really, really hard to like because they're so antisocial and angry. And so it's harder to like deal with them because, you know, we're all people. So if a kid comes in and you go, look, you have to sit down and we're going to start this. It's like, no, fuck you. It's like, all right, now, you know, I'm trying to remain professional, but there's, you know, everybody's a human being. So it's like, now I got to deal with this kid in a certain way. It's not fun for me. And it's like, it's not, you know, but when you have kids who are more likable, it's easier to like, you know, help them and easier to teach them, obviously, you know. And I understand it's the nature of these kids, but there's different levels of...
Yeah. What did you teach? Yeah, I wonder, it's just like they're special, the attractives. If you're an attractive kid, you must get teachers wanting to help you more than if you're some fucking buck-tooth nerd.
Yeah, well, if you're, the whole thing is like attractive on the inside. If you're a good, you know, if you're like, and it's got to do with like how damaged you are from your childhood and all that too. But if you can, if you're, it's like anything, if you're charismatic and get, you can get people to like you, you can get much farther ahead. Regardless of your skill set, you know, that just goes, that's in general in life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? But you'd have kids who are like real, like hard to deal with. And then you would have kids who are just like, I mean, you just loved them. They were awesome. They were great kids. And they're not without their bad moments, but you will be willing to accept those bad moments because they're just, you feel that they're great kids.
You ever see that in comedy? Over the years, you've been in it for as long as me, right around there.
Mm.
You see, I call them, like, they have it, and it might be looks.
Yeah.
But it's something else. Like with Schumer and Gerard, it wasn't looks. It was like little sibling vibe where people just wanted to help them.
Yes.
And you see, and it's like, that's just this weird benefit. They must be like that in school too, where everybody just kind of wants you specifically to succeed. Now that guy we want to help too, but like, how are you doing?
That's absolutely. It's something from the inside. It's like it's a charisma, I think, that kids have, but it's like, you know, makes them very likable.
Yeah. What'd you teach?
I taught with these kinds of kids. It's like they're just the administration or whatever school you're in are just like, just have them learn.
What?
And then you're like, yeah, but what subjects? Like, yeah, it's less important about the subjects. It's like, if you could just keep them in the room,
it's not really
and
about
have
that.
Them learn as like a kind of thing. So when I was teaching at a high school, I developed my own program, which is like a criminal justice program. I taught them about the courts and
gluten-free
the
also. We're doing full keto and justice.
I just brought my life into it. We're going to do a breathing practice. We're going to do push-ups every day. Now, I teach them about criminal justice because I figured I could teach them reading, could teach them math, do everything through this because they were interested in the criminal justice system a lot of times because a lot of them, their parents would end up in the criminal justice system. So it's and you could bring in like articles about stuff that happened, like this person did this and got this much time and all. It's interesting. It was an interesting way to teach all of the other subjects because we're reading, we're writing, but we're doing it about like criminal activities. We talk about gangs. We would talk about like all kinds of other stuff. So it's interesting. And this is, you know, in these kids' wheelhouse. So it made it interesting to them.
If you have a 50% hold on this block's weed dealership and you murder three of the others,
right.
They started at 10. Yeah. How many more do you have to murder and validate before you control the block?
Yeah, we just did a math lesson right there. We just did math. But no, it's like you got to, the big problem with these kids is like getting your hooks into something that they're interested in.
Because
they're like, no, they're not interested in traditional subjects, which is why they struggle in traditional schools. So you try to bring something that they're all kind of interested in, which is the, you know, the criminal justice system. Crime is exciting. You know, that's what every kind of like, besides love stories, movies about crime, like are just like huge. So it's like,
wow,
you know, bring that in and teach everything through that. So that's what I tried to do. And I had good success because I was teaching at public schools and then would go back to the residential school that I worked at and I would teach the summers there. While I was getting my master's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Regular kids?
No, they were residential. I taught in a couple different settings. The first one was at adjudicated school. The second one was a residential school on the mental health scale. So they couldn't function in regular schools, but it was because of mental health issues, not criminal issues.
You mean retarded or like?
No, like they were thrown out of Philadelphia schools, but they had committed
because of mental things.
Yeah, because they were either bipolar or schizophrenic or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder severely.
Right.
ADD, couldn't focus.
Do you remember,
got thrown out of public schools.
Metzger had a bit about autism.
No,
and he goes, we didn't have that when I was younger.
Oh yeah,
he goes, but that it definitely now that we it existed. We just didn't have it.
Right.
What we had was nerd. We just didn't know. Like, look at this nerd. He's not dodging the dodgeballs. We're just chucking his face. And you're like,
yeah, back then it was just like Crazy Mike.
Yeah, he's nuts.
He just had nicknames for him.
He likes to be held.
Yeah.
My chick I dated, she worked in like the autism thing, and she got bit before.
Yeah, I got bit.
You got bit.
I got spit on.
Which one's worse?
The spit thing is the, because a bite is like getting a punch or something. So it's like kind of like, it's a little, but being spit on, there's something about like, because it would happen during a restraint. You would have to restrain these kids because how it played out, it would be like, you know, there would be a disruption in the class and then the teacher would go, okay, you got to leave. And then the kid would go, I'm not leaving.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. I'm not leaving.
Wow. That's
then,
that line. There's that one moment where it's like, damn it.
Yeah. So now the whole class stops and the teacher goes, because once you say it as a teacher, you got to back it up or everybody's just going to run over you.
Same thing when I was a door guy at the store.
Yeah.
And I'd be throwing something out and they'd be like, I didn't do it. My friends were talking. They were at the table with me. And if the manager ever, one time he was like, oh, okay, I'll let you back in. Like, you can't let him back in.
Nah.
You can say I'm wrong and punish me, but you can't ever let him back in.
Right.
Then I have no control over this room.
Nah.
Just let me be wrong and have the guy chucked.
Yeah. And the thing about that is it's like at least they're gone after that night. In a classroom, it's like, it's every day.
Yeah, they'll be back
so they're not
going
to forget,
Right.
And they'll remember it. So it starts out where the kid goes, nah, fuck you, I'm not leaving. Because keep in mind,
can you imagine nah, fuck you to a teacher? It's so far removed from the way I was brought up.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I mean, me too. That's nuts.
The worst we ever had was Maximilian. I forget his last name. He was chewing gum in class, which that was like way over the line.
Right.
And the teacher was like, what are you chewing? And he was throwing himself out because of what he was going to say. He goes, my cud. And he started just disrespectful. And he started walking to the door. He said, go to the prison. He goes, I'm going. But like, that was as bad as it. That was legendary for
a few years, right?
Fuck you, I'm not going.
Yeah. No, I never saw that I went to public schools and that was not a thing when I was growing up at all. It was an everyday thing when I was working in this residential school. So this is how it would go all the time. There would be a disruption. The teacher goes, you gotta leave. And the kid would go, fuck you. And then it would be a standoff. And then I worked behavioral staff. Me and another person would have to go in the room. The kids would clear and you go, look, the teacher asked you to leave, you got to leave. And then they would go to you. They could either be nice about it and go, look, I'm not leaving. I don't want to leave.
Because
and,
they must be like, it's not you, it's this fucking bitch.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's they're the bad person.
I get it. It's just your job, but you don't understand what happened before you got
here. Or they could be hostile towards you too and be like, fuck you, I'm not going. Fuck you, fuck him, I'm not going. I'm not leaving. And then it's like you have to have a talk. And the talk goes like this. Look, they asked you to leave, you have to leave. And now you're going to leave by any means. You're going to have to, I'm going to have to escort you out. I don't want to put my hands on you. I will, though. So you have to, if you put your hands on me, I'm going to fuck you up. It's like, look, you're getting it all wrong. It's not personal for me. I don't have anything personal again. I actually like you. It's not personal. But the way the system goes, he wants you out of the class. You got to go out of the class. It's my job. I'm getting paid to do this. So it's not personal. I have to put my hands on you. You put your hands on me, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to call my cousin. My cousin come up here and fuck you up. I'm like,
oh,
yeah, you could do whatever you got to do. What I'm saying is I have a job to do, and I got to do it. Now, you can either work with me on that, or you could fight me, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And then sometimes it would get through, and sometimes it would be nasty, and we'd have to go down to the ground.
I mean, but the whole thing, and then you were a wrestler, so you must have been able to take these kids.
Take them down, but these are like 13 to 18 year olds, so it's not that easy. You know, and plus, people don't realize.
If it's 17 and a half years old, they're stronger than
strong. And girls, too. People are like, oh, girls. It's like,
I see no, World no, no. Star.
If you do not secure limbs, a girl will take your eye out, man, with their nails. Yeah, it's not pleasant. The whole thing's not pleasant. And then when you're with another person, you got to secure the limbs at the same time, because if you don't and a limb gets free in the flail, it could really fuck you up. Yeah.
Take another piece of my eye now, baby.
Yeah, man, that's rough. I had a girl scratch me across my face, almost in my eye, because the other person didn't secure a limb at the same time.
Wow.
And it was bad. So it's like
secure the limbs.
Yeah, because it's like people start flailing, it's out of control, but as the person restraining, you got to be in control. You got to be in control and you got to use, enough force. That's the thing about the police and all this stuff, which I get it, I get the abuse and the overuse of force and all that stuff. I get it. But what the common person doesn't understand in a restraint situation is you have to overpower the person. So it looks bad. It looks like you have to overpower the person, though. It's safer if you overpower the person.
Overpower them hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
To get to the ground. And then when you get to the ground, then it's like, okay, then you start talking to them and de-escalating them because
it's
the rough
like
stuff
football,
is over.
Like, hey, let's not run up the score. I'm like, no, you're up 3 points. You need to get it over 9.
Yes.
You need to make sure you're over that.
You need to make sure because if it goes out of control, then it's dangerous for everybody.
Wow, yeah.
So you bring them to the ground, and then when you bring them to the ground, it's not pleasant because they're either saying doing one or two things like my arm hurts. So they go from talking to you like sometimes like Tupac, like I'm gonna fuck you up, I'm gonna kill you, and then you bring it to the ground, they're like my arm, it immediately goes to that. So you go, okay, I'm gonna you only use necessary force to restrain. So you, all right, I'm gonna ease up on your arm, but you gotta stop struggling. You gotta do your part. You gotta stop struggling. And then you de-escalate them that way.
And then you like pull off the gas a little.
Yeah.
And then if they go harder, then you gotta go back.
Yeah, you gotta go back. It's like, look, man, I'm easing up. You gotta do your part though. You gotta relax. Because the thing about that is, like, you're not taking them to a cell. Like, you have to deal with them. So after you bring them to the ground, you're trying to de-escalate them. Like, look, let's just
get out of the room.
Yeah, we have to get out of the room.
Jesus.
Yeah, so you got to bring them back down. Like, look, you start talking to them like a person. Like, look, as long as this takes, if you stop struggling, I'm going to stop. I'm going to ease up. So let's do it together. Let's work together. And then you get them up, and then you walk out of the room, hopefully, which is how it usually happened, because they got that burst of adrenaline. Because when it's a standoff, there's adrenaline everywhere. And then once there's a confrontation, a physical confrontation, I feel like the adrenaline drops and they're de-escalated, and then you can get up and walk out of the room, which is what you wanted to do in the first place. You didn't want to have a physical confrontation as staff.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Did you?
That's a lot of that was like, come on, man, let's not do this. Let's not do this. And if they just go, no, fuck you, I'm doing it. I'm not fucking leaving. It's like, and keep in mind, it was a co-ed school, so there's girls around. There's guys around. They don't want to look like they're backing down.
But that's
in front
the thing
too.
It's emasculating to their peers, either to get taken down or to just to go willingly if somebody's like, you have to. It's almost like I can see an angle where they're like, I'd rather you beat me up to make me go.
Right.
It'll save me face.
Right.
If this big fucking adult makes me go, it is cooler than me going, fine.
Yeah. And you look defiant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're defiant throughout. So you take the kid down and hopefully you de-escalate them and get them back up and then walk to a timeout room.
Now, let's do our dates real quick, but I want to ask if you took it personally ever, but we'll come right back to that. Microdosing is an important part of the drug community. Yeah, it's an exciting new feature that mushrooms are offering you and acids are offering you. What I've heard is people in the tech world will microdose acid and it helps them have these massive startups. Let's assume Facebook was not started that way, but let's assume many of the other companies that Facebook bought out or aggressively took over were started by acid heads, but they're microdosing it, which means you take below the efficable amount of the drug. Efficable is a word that I learned when talking about microdosing mushrooms. So it doesn't get you fucked up. And now it's THC. You can microdose THC. Yeah, I've just heard about it from these people at microdose.com. Use microdose.com, promo code Ari at checkout. You get 30% off your first order and free shipping. That's the biggest discount I believe anyone has given. That sponsored me. So that means they know that you're going to get hooked. That's how it works. As a Jew, I can talk about this. And as a drug head, pothead for many, many decades, I can tell you about it too. They'll want to get you hooked by giving you quality products and you'll be back. 30% off and free shipping. That's pretty sweet. You're paying $70 and no shipping if you're making $100. You're paying $7 and no shipping if you get $10 worth. Why would you get $10 worth though? You're going to go for it. So you do is you get a steady stream of THC working in your body, and then it just like changes you slightly, but you don't get high. That's below the efficable amount. You don't get fucked up, but it starts to, sex can be better on it. You laugh more, have a good time. You're able to handle your girlfriend and her dumb fucking stories that start way too early. We've all been there. You're like, is this even part of the story? You're like, so you're at the mall. Is this part of the thing that I have to hear about? And then, like, why'd you tell me about your lunch with Sarah? What does this have to do with that? You got to have faith in them. Like, you got to pull it all together. And then at the end, once again, it doesn't pull all together. And then at some point, you go to the next story, and you're like, I know this isn't going to be good either. But if microdose.com, use promo code Ari for that deep discount, you'll maybe be able to handle it. I say maybe because you can't guarantee that. It depends how boring your girlfriend's stories are. Microdose is available nationwide. That's nice. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use the code Ari to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that's microdose.com. Promo code Ari. Now go get not fucked up. Just keep taking a little bit. It'd be like taking dipping your finger in whiskey and like that every day. You're never going to get drunk. Why would you do that? Do it with THC. Microdose.com. Promo code Ari. Bye. So what do you got? This is coming up Monday. So, like, what do you got? Besides your new special out, new special. The Attractives, on YouTube right now. You should all go see it.
The important thing is my Shot social media, at Comic Mike V, on all social media platforms, at Comic Mike V. My podcast is Mike Vecchione Investigates iTunes. Yeah. It's we shoot at Gas Digital. It's iTunes and on YouTube also. I could use followers. It's a fake investigatory show. We're very fake about investigating, and we also talk down to our listeners, which is fun because it's not just your normal comic hang. We will talk down to you, and we fake investigate news stories.
That's a good thing. Actually, legitimately, people are at some point bored of the podcast you're listening to.
Yeah,
I get it. And and they're looking for new ones. So
yeah.
Mike V investigates.
Mike Vecchione investigates. Mike Vecchione investigates on iTunes and also on YouTube.
Yeah.
And for dates, MikeVecchione.com. But I will be in Comedy on State this weekend.
Madison. Yeah. Sick.
Madison. Wait, this comes out Monday?
Monday.
Okay. I was already there.
I wasn't.
It was great. Oh my God. What a great. What a great. It was so cool.
The girls
are
awesome.
But come and see me at Side Splitters in Tampa, one of my favorite clubs in the country.
Love that spot.
It's awesome.
I just started going there. Went for Mark Norman's bachelor party.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm switching clubs. And he was like, we'd love to have you. And then I did a headline week.
It was awesome.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. It's in a nice part of town. It's not in like.
God, I love the people in Tampa. We're just talking about this on Bonfire.
They're some of the coolest people in the world.
It is so. It's just like.
There's no pretension to them.
No. And I went to high school in Boca Raton. I graduated high school in Boca Raton,
Trash,
Florida, which
yeah.
I loved. Great. I mean, I never would have taken anything back. Yeah, I my joke is like everybody retires when they're six and they're doing shuffleboard and taking medication. Yeah. No, it was the best, but there's something about that West Coast, that Tampa area that it just feels like all the people from New York, Philly, and Boston go to the East Coast, and then more Midwest. It has more of a Midwestern vibe,
right?
On
yes,
that
it
West
does.
Coast,
it does, because like Miami is Miami,
yeah,
and then West Palm or Fort Lauderdale is like a more chill version of it, but they're all West
yes.
East Coast versions. You're
yeah.
right. Tampa's Midwest.
Yes,
it's more laid back.
More laid back, and I was really surprised.
It's not like they're right wing or left wing. They was like, oh, dude, we're playing golf.
Yeah,
doesn't really talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it's really how great the people are there.
Yeah. And then what else you got? Tampa?
Oh, yeah, Tampa. And then I'm at Moon Tower in April.
In Austin. Great.
In Austin,
I'm sure
yeah.
there were a bunch of podcasts there. Love yeah. Moon Tower. Love Austin. You got to go by the Comedy Mothership. Say hi. I'm going to be in Zurich on tomorrow, I guess, Tuesday.
Wow.
This comes out at a show. And then April, I got at the end of April, the 27th, 28th, and 30th, I got Glasgow, London, Manchester. And then in May, I go to Europe. Four, Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Vienna, Ljubljana, Cluj-Napoca, Bucharest, and Athens. Finishing up May 16th in Athens, and get tickets. And I'll be at the Comedy Mothership on April 4th doing a storytelling show. But those are my dates.
That's awesome. And, Nate, our friend Nate Bargatze, just came from Europe. I went to Nashville.
He's going to Australia
he
now.
He just
too.
Came from Europe. Yeah, he's going to Australia, but he just came from Europe. So, especially Amsterdam, just call him about what to do and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's got great stuff.
I mean, I've been a bunch. I love Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I will say that I looked at like some tour schedules. I was looking at Segura's to see if we overlap because he's around the same time. And I'm like, maybe we can, even if we're an hour away, like, let's take a train and meet up and do some fucking fun shit, you know?
Absolutely.
It just is not going to work out. It's not even close. But
you're really good about that. You're really good about going somewhere and be like, oh, who else is around?
Yeah.
That's great.
Especially somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
There's some shit to do out
there.
It'd
yeah,
be
man.
Way
there's
nicer
a lot
to
of
have
fun.
A real friend.
There's a lot of fun.
But
one of the best times, it still comes up on my phone,
what?
The pictures of when we went to Vegas and then we went to the...
Gangster Museum?
We went to the Gangster Museum together. But then we went to the rock climbing and all that stuff. You're like, look, if you can hang an extra few days...
Zion. Yeah.
And it was... unbelievable. It was
I remember that
so
was hard for
fun,
you.
Man.
It was hard for you to do it.
Yeah, I know. I know, because I'm like, oh, let me get back to woods. Like, no, this is going to be fun. It's like, dude, I've never seen stars like that. That was unbelievable. It was so clear.
It was so clear
so
and dark
clear.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And just like, wow.
I remember I sent you a video one time when we were like a stop, like we were eating at some restaurant at a stop together, and we all stopped to play horseshoes outside, and there was a big wagon, a statue of a wagon and a person like a pioneer.
Yeah.
And I sent it to you. You're like, what? You have this? What is this from? It's like, I got video. I got video from that entire trip, man.
Yeah.
It was really a great time.
It was so cool. You, me, Tolomon. And List.
Yes.
And whoever else was with us like had to go back to do their
yeah, yeah.
careers. Mark and
Veter.
And it was just like, oh, dude.
Dude, that
you
was
should be coming.
It was a blast. I do not regret doing that. So anything you say where it's like, even if it's out of my wheelhouse, it's like, hey, if you're here, let's go skiing. It's like, I've never skied before, but it's really, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
You did the other one I really was impressed with too, was China.
China was unreal. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I was blown away by Singapore, man. How great Singapore was.
Yeah.
But I got to say, like, the funniest thing before I went there, I was talking to you about it, and you go, look, if they tell you not to say something, do not say it. You go, and this is me telling you. This is me telling you not to say it. Okay? It's like they are not playing games over there. They will detain. And you know what? They shut that Shanghai room down.
Shut it down. Yeah.
It's really something, though.
Never made it to Singapore.
I mean, Singapore blew
Shanghai
me away.
Was great. Singapore's still my... Yeah, do not fuck with that. I was on Rogan's podcast, me, Shane, and Martin. We were doing some mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then there were some shots of us taking the mushrooms. And then Joe's like, I don't know, should we even like cut that out or use the other shots? I mean, Jamie has to go back and re-edit.
Yeah.
And I was like, Joe, I think you should, as big as you are, I think you should cut around it. You think so? I'm like... And remember, that's me. That's me. I don't give a fuck. Fuck the governor. Who gives a shit? I'm saying. Yeah. The safety last guy is saying, cut around that. Yeah. He goes, let's cut around it. Let's cut around it.
That's great.
And I was like, and by the way, you should not have just drinking that. yeah, that was a lot.
I mean, how was that?
What?
I can't imagine like...
I've done mushrooms a lot. We
can handle it. Yeah, you can handle
it. Gets you quiet, but it's like being drunk.
Oh, but is it the same every time you do it, or is it different experiences?
Mushrooms decide.
Wow.
Mushrooms decide how heavy it's going
to
be.
You can do that on a podcast is really something, man.
It really shows. It's funny because it's like this massive platform. The platform.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about Publicist because he's got a new special out called The Attractives right now on YouTube. And sometimes you got to get a publicist to help get the word out.
Right.
And so I talked to my – I'm friends with my publicist. And I use them over the years. You know, I'll use them for when I have to promote something and not at all. Or if I suddenly start getting death threats while I'm on a plane, he'd be like, hey, I'm going back on. Just like, you know, we'll figure out the money later. I'm going back on. Yeah, it's so great. Found my webmaster. He's like, let's take this person off. They're getting threats by electric nearby you. But he's like, in the publicity game, there's the biggest thing that we can get our clients, our writers, our musicians, our whatever, and we have no in to get that. So if you can get on Rogan, that's the thing. We're powerless.
Yeah, yeah.
We try, but it's really not up to us.
Right, right.
And now me and Shane and Mark are on this massive platform and let's fuck it off. Let's just do inebriants.
That's great.
And not take it seriously. That's how calm it's become.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is nice.
And I'm sure the more you do it, the easier
it
is.
Becomes.
Yeah.
And when we started, I mean, at least when I started, it was nothing.
Yeah,
so it became
You start from the beginning, Yeah.
Same with our friendships, too. It's like, who's this fucking loser from News Radio? It's like, you know, this former actor. It's like a lot easier to become friends.
But you were friends with him before all that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right after News Radio.
Yeah.
Before Fear Factor, I remember telling us about this new show. Because it's weird, we're sicking dogs on people. I'm like, what? Even on a TV?
Yeah.
He's like, it's anyway, yeah.
That's great, man.
Did you ever, like, when they're fighting back, did you ever take it personal?
Yeah, it's hard not to take it personal because you're walking. You know, we all have our own lives. Like, you're getting up, you're having breakfast. I was living with my girl at the time. It's like she had her. So you have your own issues. But when you go in, it's like, it just depends what kind of day this is going to be. But you know you're going to have those confrontations every day. So you're prepared for it mentally. And you realize it's like, oh, these kids, because when a kid comes in, the psychologist comes in and reads their backstory. And a lot of their backstories would make you cry.
Really?
I mean, just cry.
Like, what kind of stuff?
Like, a kid was held in a basement and chained up and fed dog food. That was one of the things. It's like he was fed dog food and kept in a basement until like human services came, child protective services came in and removed him from the home.
And then the dog finally got his food?
The dog finally got the dog.
So mean.
But I mean, that's so the kind of.
That would never happen to you. I would get separate dog food for you.
But that's the kind of stories that would come out and you were like, oh, man, it's just like, how could a person do this to another person, man?
And when then that kid is going, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. It's like it gives a back. It doesn't, you know, you're still a person and you're still feeling so. But you understand the backdrop of what you're dealing with then, you know. But yes, it's hard when someone like bites you or spits on you or something, I mean, your just initial reaction is, because if that was to happen just like on the street, even though it's in a setting where it's like crazy things happen and you expect it and it's your job, it's still like you have the initial reaction to be like, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. 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 It's hard, so hard in New York, and it's on the very border of always just suddenly fighting.
Yeah.
It's like you're walking past someone on the street, and you put your head down, you don't look. But if they just hip checked you,
yeah,
it's on. And we're all hoping that no one calls anyone. Right. None of us want the fight.
Right.
But you have to be ready to fight. It's crazy how we live.
It is crazy how we live. And it's like, I was always jealous because I overthink everything too, you know? But I love the guys who just like don't think twice about that. They just go, oh okay. They just go, you know, there's guys like that who just are always like down for the whatever. It's like, oh, you okay? Well, this is easy now.
Yeah,
it's the decision's already made.
Yeah, you started this. So
yeah. It's like whatever happens in this confrontation, it's got to be now. It's got to go to this level now. Wow. So yeah,
yeah. But it's like it does make and as we're raised is to not fight,
right?
So if somebody's like, I fuck you, you're like, your natural, if you had time to think, would be like, ugh, let me get out of here.
Yeah.
But your emotions are like, let me fight you back.
Right.
They draw you into a place that you not you.
Yeah, they draw you into a place.
Because you're not even mad at this guy. You didn't even know he existed 10 seconds ago.
Right.
And so these kids must be the
these
same
kids
way.
Is the same. It's but you're like, you keep in mind like, hey, this is my job and I have to be professional and all this stuff. And you so you walk in. It's not as the same because you're walking into the situation knowing that. But and then afterwards, a lot of the kids are like apologetic. Some are not, but some are apologetic and, you know, want to get back into the program. It's hard because it's a school, too. No kids want to go to school, but these kids especially.
Good point.
But it's, you got to, you know, there has to be structure and there has to be discipline.
Did you train for this or do they just throw you in?
They throw you in. They give you a little bit of training, but the restraint training was, at the time, it was a basket hold. So you would hold each hand. It was like a basket like this.
This way
their hands would be crossed or yours would
theirs,
so they couldn't do much
right you can't go forward and yeah, so to prevent them from and then somebody
so
would someone
so
be on their legs
hand, so I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah, but I would be behind you. Behind you, and then I would grab from the backside. It's kind of like in wrestling where it's like two, you're grabbing, but we would do a two on one.
But you'd grab the hands here. How did you cross them? Or did you grab over and then pull?
Grab your wrists here and then
pull. Okay.
Yeah, like pull them, and then somebody would be on your leg. You'd at least need two people to restrain. Yeah.
Do you have to take kids out, like drag, like by the legs and by the arms, dragged out?
Yeah, but you would have to do it. You would take them to the ground and then try to de-escalate them up. And then clear the room.
Get out of the room.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody else would have to get out of the room.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it be like everybody in the hallway where we handle
everybody in the hall, because you don't want, you know, you don't want a situation where a kid, that's my friend, jumping in, and you need other staff to like police that.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's my friend. Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
Like, these are all
it's like
possible enemies.
Yes. Because it's a volatile situation, but it's necessary that if a kid is being defiant and the teacher decides to have them get out of the room, that you need to get them out of the room because the class needs to continue.
Right, you're delaying everyone's
education. Yeah, and you want to send the message like, you know, the biggest thing with these kinds of kids and any kind of kids is severity and consistency. You want to do it consistently and with the same amount of severity, the least amount of resistance to get what you want. So if you want the kid to leave, you're using the least amount of resistance in order to get what you want.
Damn.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. So it was a tough job, but then it was also rewarding in the sense that you would see some of these kids like do better. And
really?
Yeah.
Did you ever follow the kids afterwards?
Not in the residential, but in teaching I taught in a bunch of different settings. At a public high school, man, it was really something. Like after the residential school, I taught in a city school in Philly, Northeast Philly, and then I taught in a working class suburb, Upper Darby, and then I taught in a affluent, more affluent place, Garnet Valley, and so I got a picture of all these communities. And the one I taught was a high school, the last one. It was more affluent. And the kids just didn't feel like they really belonged there because it was like a really blue ribbon school, and these kids kind of didn't fit in. And the first year I taught there, I had a bond with a few of the kids, and it was, and they were graduating. They were like 17, 18 years old. And it was unbelievable, man. They were.
Did they stay in touch?
Like, we stayed in touch with them. I said, after they graduated, I went to their graduation. I remember when I first moved to New York, I stayed in touch with them, and I would go back and have dinner with them. I would go back and have dinner with them. I would hang out with them as adults.
Really?
And they, they left a message on my, right after graduation. They called. I gave my phone number. They left a message on, they went out and celebrated, and it was like 3 a.m. Left a message like, "Mr. Vec, we love you. We love you, Mr. Vec. We love you." Yeah, yeah. And they after they graduated, they would do that once in a while. One time I picked up, it was like 2 or 3 a.m. They're like, "Oh, Mr. Vec." I'm like, "Are you being safe? Are you being like a dad? They're like, "Yeah, we're being safe. We're home. We just wanted to call." They would all have together. Wow. "We just wanted to call and tell you that we love you." And I go, "Okay, guys, be safe." And they go, "You got to say it back." I go, "What?" They go, you got to tell us you love us. You got to tell us you love us." I go, "I love you guys." And they're like, "All right, good night." They wouldn't hang up the phone until I told them that I loved them back. That's it was really beautiful.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, if you can keep up with them and find joy in their
community. Yeah,
I reached out to a college teacher 10, 15 years ago, Dr. Kolker, Robert Kolker. Loved him. Film like analysis teacher.
Yeah.
At Maryland. I think he switched to Georgia Tech and found him. Asked him a question about something, like not Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive maybe or something like that. Talked a little, like, "What are you up to?" I'm like, "Stand-up comedian." He's like, "Oh, that's weird." But just like, I love the idea of like staying in touch with these guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they have an effect on your life, and you don't realize it because you're going through it every day. And with these kids, these behavioral emotional kids, it can be very difficult day to day. Just getting stuff done. But once you're out of it and they're on their way to whatever they want to do, it can be really good.
Yeah, but like you kind of like, I would assume you take some joy, like I made that.
Yeah.
You know?
I had an effect. I just did a show in Pennsylvania and I had a kid come out with his wife who I taught.
Wow.
Yeah, he came out to the show and a couple of kids have come out to shows.
Wow.
You know? Because this is, you know, they knew I was doing stand-up, but it was before YouTube and all this stuff, so you couldn't get into a problem. You know, it was just like, it was kind of, you could live in a separate world of doing stand-up.
As clean
as you are, I just started stand-up, but
it's still, you would get, you couldn't be a teacher in this.
Maybe if you were completely clean.
I mean, a year level. Yeah, I'm offensive. You're just funny.
Right, right.
But like, there's no way for me.
Yeah.
But even with like you, yeah, I'd still be like, someone would get you fired.
Something. Yeah.
There'd be one thing. Right. You made fun of the people on my kid.
Well, not the stand-up, but even podcasting now, it would be like, yeah, you did this. You said this. Somebody dug this up.
Legit. Oh, actually, being on this podcast would get you fired. He didn't even say anything by association with the devil.
The devil.
the most evil man in comedy.
Ari Shaffir is the most evil man in comedy. I'm going to watch it right after this podcast.
Did you watch any of that video?
I'm not going to watch it because they pulled it up on Bonfire. But,
oh, my God.
They pulled it up on Bonfire, but I'm like, they're like, Jay was like, "I can't wait to watch it." I'm like, "I can't wait to watch this."
I have not watched. Bobby was telling me a little about it, and then I finally watched it yesterday. I told you, I wrote a comment saying, "This is my favorite thing I've seen all year. This is so fucking funny." And then I wrote another comment saying, "Please support this channel." And they took down the first comment. They deleted the one saying I liked it.
Oh,
it's so fucking funny.
Because that's what the devil kind of does. From what I've learned about the devil, the devil always shows up friendly.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the most evil man in comedy.
The most evil
man in comedy. Think it's like you would come with all this hate, but that's not how true evil works. True evil shows up as a friend.
Face.
Yeah.
I got my fiddle over there.
God.
Yeah.
The most evil man in comedy. You're the most evil man in comedy with the biggest heart. Is that possible? That you could have the biggest heart, but you're the most evil?
It's not a real documentary. It's like, well, we have to also examine this other thing where everyone seems to say they love him. So what is that about? Like, nah, we're not going to face that part of it.
Yeah.
We're not going to.
Yeah. Forget that part of it.
It's so funny hearing new people come to like, what the fuck? And it's like, what you did to Bobby Lee? I'm like, in our 20s, what? And he's like, they're like, it just happened to them right now. Oh my God. They just heard about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It happens to you right now.
Yeah.
That's the delay of the most evil man. I can't wait. I'm going to have my popcorn ready for it.
This guy was accused of legitimate rape.
I want to see who you really are.
Nope, you'll find out.
Okay.
At the most evil man in comedy. what was I going to say about this teaching shit now? What were the other teachers like? Had they given up?
Oh, you know what? It's at the residential school, it was all young because you burn out so fast.
Yeah, you can.
So it was all young. So we'd go out to happy hours and drink afterwards and we would just get hammered. And it was like really fun, man. Really like because when you're doing, it's like playing a contact sport together.
You're in your mid-20s living life.
Yeah. And you're like, we're all the kind of the same age. And it's like restraining and being in that kind of a fire every day is like it's like playing a contact sport together where it's like you're bonded because it's like I got your back, you got my back, we, you know, we love these kids and we're trying to do the best we can for them, but if things get bad, it's like I gotta know that you can secure a limb, I can secure a limb, and that we got each other's back, because if you don't, then it's like things can get really ugly for everyone.
Dude, you've been to shows where teachers show up.
Yes.
And especially special ed teachers. Nobody drinks harder.
Yes.
Nurses, special ed teachers. Yeah,
we go hard, man. We go hard in the paint.
When they're off, they're off.
They're off. And they have, like, they're facing that. It's the level of frustration that you're dealing with every day. And not just with the kids. The kids, it's like, you can handle that. It's like, but it's like you have these administrators who don't get it. And then you have parents who also kind of don't get it.
Yeah, with the parents, what are they like?
Sometimes they're real supportive and good, but other times they're like, oh, yeah, they're just what do you call it? Delusional about what the issue is. You know, it's like, oh, no, you're not getting it at all.
Because
and sometimes
like,
they're not present.
Right. You don't get a fucked up kid from an awesome leader.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There was this thing a few years ago about like, I just saw it on the news. Like, I don't understand why parents can't have teacher's cell phone numbers. Like, you should have the teacher's cell phone number. It's like, no. Because a lot of these parents are unstable.
Yeah, you're
they would just be
of
texting
you.
With,
what
yeah,
you would be as a
right,
parent.
Right.
Where, but it's right. It's like, yeah. No.
I mean, it's,
my kid said you do this to him in class.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to come down there.
A whole bunch like, of that, no. too. Yeah. So I don't know. It depends. But there was one thing as like, I think it was in 2015, because I remember my father was passing away at the time. So I was me and my mother were watching. My mother is a teacher for 40 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we're watching this thing on TV where it was like, this girl refused to leave a class, and the teacher was like, you got to leave. And she was like, fuck you, I'm not leaving. I think it was a public school. It was a public school. So the teacher goes, she goes, fuck you, I'm not leaving. And the teacher is afraid to like do anything about it because she doesn't want to risk her job. So she goes and gets the principal. And the principal comes in and goes, you got to go. And the kid goes, no, fuck you, I'm not leaving. And then so the principal doesn't want to do anything because the principal doesn't want the school to get sued. So the principal grabs a cop, and the cop is like a football coach. You know, the girl is black. That everybody, I guess the teacher and the principal are white, and the cop who comes in is white. And so they go, okay, the cop goes, you gotta leave. This is the third person now. And she goes, no, I'm not leaving. And so the cop like pulls her out of the chair, and it looks ugly. The video looks ugly.
Yeah.
It does look ugly. Pulls her out of, because she's holding onto the chair, and he pulls her out of the chair and gets her out of the room. And this video gets released, and it's just like, I mean,
brutality.
The backlash about it and the racial element. It's like, I don't know, dude. And it turns out that the cop was a football coach, and like really, he got fired. And it just, I don't know what you do in that situation then. I guess the girl just runs the school at that point. Do you just let her stay there and she just dictates what's going
to
happen in the school?
I mean, a lot of people
school?
Say, no, but there's another way to do it. But like, and? What is it? And in the moment, what is it? I don't
it's
know.
It's not another way to do it. I mean, the girl just dictates what's going
to happen. Like, when I was a door guy at the store, if someone refused to leave, then it's like, oh, then you're trespassing on our property.
Right.
And we have to call the police to
right.
do it.
Right.
And if they say no, the cop, I guess, would then be like, here's a moment I'm allowed to use force to get you out of someone's property.
It has to stop somewhere. Has to go, okay, you got to move. And then they go, no, three different times. Meanwhile, everybody's talking about education. It's like, these kids are missing class. This is going on for an hour now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're missing this class because of this ugly
anger. All they see is this video and they go, what the fuck? They don't see, they'll see a little girl crying because their dad's gone. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no, her dad's raped seven people. He's in jail. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. It's always like the thing right now where it's just like, but it was an ugly. I remember feeling that because I used to do that kind of a thing. Like they'd have to leave the class, and you know you would have to pull them out of the restrain them and then pull them out of the class. But for this to happen in a public school like that, it's like the guy got fired. Everybody overreacted, and it's like, I don't know. Tell me a good alternative to that where it's a functional within the system where a kid can just go fuck you to the teacher, which is, you can't have that. You can't have a kid go fuck you
to
the
teacher.
But
you have to have a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Like when they will do that, because they will, what are we going to do? It's not shoot them.
Right. No. I mean, I got into an argument in my master's, one of my master's classes, because there was a another student who was a teacher. We were all like working in the field at the time, and he was like, you never put your hands on the kids, you call the cops. It's like, no, I have to because I'm the population I'm dealing with,
right?
Otherwise, if I say something and I say don't do that, and they go no, I'm gonna do that, and I don't physically do something, then
everybody's,
all order is out the window.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have to call the cops every fucking day then.
Yeah.
So it's like they don't understand the functional nature of how things have to go. And also, if I tell you to do something and you tell me to fuck off and I call a cop, it's like I have no status. They're going to respect the cop, but they're not going to respect – they're going to respect whoever makes them do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. By the time the cop gets here, I'll sit down. It won't be an issue.
Yeah.
One time I was at TSA, and I just hate them so much. And it's like, you know, they'll steal like a lighter one. They can't have this. I'm like, if I didn't have it in my pocket, if I had it in my bag, you wouldn't have found it. Can I just have my lighter?
Right.
Then I'm going to land and I'm not going to have, it's a cigar lighter. I'm not going to have one, please. Oh, yeah. And they're like, no. I'm like, ugh. Like, you can go check. I'm like, sure. I'll go back out of security. I'll go check a lighter and it'll write my name on it. What are you
talking?
And then just, they don't care. And just like, it makes me so mad. And then sometimes anyway, they were like, take your shoes off. And I used to like not comply. I'm like, no, I have a disease. And like, what is it? I'm like, you can't ask that. Whatever. Just like, and then one time they were like, the thing went off. You got to take your shoes off. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm hurt. And they're like, no, you got, I'm like, my doctor told me not to. And they're like, well, the thing went off. I'm like, can we go it again? They're like, nah, we don't go again. And I'm like, can I just leave? I was thinking of my parents. I was headed back to New York or LA. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, what if I'm like, I don't want to do this. I just want to go home. I'm not going to get on the plane. I'm going to go home. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, am I being detained? Are you detaining me?
Right.
Why can't I leave?
Right.
I get not going through to the,
right.
And then I'm just, I had an hour. So I'm like, let me have some fun with it, you know? And then at some point, like, got it. So I'm like, do you want us to call the cops? And for a second, I was like, actually, yeah. Let's see what the legal rules are in this. I know I haven't done anything illegal yet. The worst it's going to do is make me take my shoe off.
Right.
Yeah, call the cops. Let's and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to jail yet. And it was just fun. The cop was just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come on, dude. Can you please just take it off?
Right.
It was like what your job was. And I was like, nah.
Yeah. Because the cop is not in it the way that the person having that confrontation is emotionally caught up in it.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you're going to see.
Right. Because they're like, why can't you take your shoe off? I'm like, because I don't want to. Shut up. And they're like, you'll take it off. And I'm like, oh, now you're the Starbucks employee taking power.
Yeah.
Was this anything like, what was that? Was it Gangster's Paradise? No. What was the movie called with
Michelle Pfeiffer and Coolio?
Yeah.
I think it was Gangster's Paradise.
The song was Gangster's Paradise.
It was called something else.
Not Higher Learning.
God, I don't know.
Was it like that movie?
No. I actually didn't see that movie, but just from the clip.
The clips.
From the video.
The commercial.
Yeah. I don't think it was that.
What, did you eat food at the cafeteria?
Yeah, we'd eat at the cafeteria.
How was it? Was Pizza Day big for you too?
Pizza Day. I mean, I got to say, the food at most of the schools, now that I think about it, is just, I mean, bring your lunch. Yeah, because it's like, it's not healthy. And I understand that healthy food is not good for you. It doesn't taste good. Mm-hmm. But it's like just pizza. And every day it's like pizza and some
hot dogs and fries,
run down vegetables that look just like they don't have any nutrients in them.
Wretched vegetables.
Yeah, it's
just
rough.
Like soaked.
And now they have like soda machines, like in the high schools they have like soda machines and all that stuff. It's like, that's terrible too. Unless, you know.
Yeah, why would you? Who's profiting off that?
I don't know.
Soda machines.
I guess the money goes back into, I mean, there has to be some kind of an arrangement just where the money goes back.
Fucking poison your kids.
But years ago, Florida did a thing where it's like, they did a shifty thing where it's like, oh, all the money from the lottery is going to go to education. It's like, oh, they just took the money from education and moved it somewhere else and had the lottery money replace the education budget.
Oh, so
it was a shifty thing.
So it's a way to pass the lottery there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, but if we said no to that, you would have put the money back
in
education.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My friend voted against the slots in Maryland. It was like 15, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's real smart. I'm like, why? I thought you'd be. He goes, it's just a poor tax.
Yeah.
Rich people aren't doing it. Poor people are losing a 1 to 10% of their income off this on the hopes they win.
Right.
Rich people just go to work more.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how they make money.
Yeah.
And so you're just taxing the poor.
Yeah. The rich people are on a boat somewhere.
Is it Triangle of Paradise or whatever it is? Quantum of Solace? No. Triangle of Misery? Woody Allen's in it. Woody Harrelson's in it.
Is it new?
It's new. I think it was out.
Triangle of Sadness.
Triangle of Sadness. It's a good movie. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got to check it
funny.
Out.
Funny. It's like funny.
Oh, okay.
You should see it with your chick.
Yeah.
What else is there about the schools that we don't know? It's an interesting Florida backstory for sure.
Well, what's interesting about what I did also is that you wouldn't have grades, you'd have goals because you would have individualized educational plans. Have you heard about this? You would have this paperwork that you have to do.
Goals should not be the same as your goals.
Right. Because you have different disabilities.
Uh-huh.
So it's like I'm creating a specific, that's why there's only 8 to 10 kids in a class, because see, you're creating an individualized educational plan for each child and you're addressing each child's needs separately. That's what the smaller classroom is about, for their learning challenges and their emotional challenges. But I think what's happening now in schools, or at least what was happening at the end of my tenure, was people, because it's a legal document, most people were just focused on the paperwork. And so if the kid's not doing good, they go, well, let's have an IEP meeting and figure out why he's not doing good. And it's like, well, I could tell you why he's not doing good. He's not doing any of his work. He's putting his head down every day. And they go, well, what can we do in order to make that better according to the document? So instead of coming in 5 out of 5 days with ready to work, maybe we can make it 3 out of 5 days where he's ready to, like, lower the bar a little bit so that he can stay in this school. It's like, no, that's not functionally. I mean, it's going to look okay on paper for if this ever goes to any court. That's not really how you can't have a kid come in, put his head down and be like, I don't want to be here. It's like, take the day off, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, take the day off.
What's this going to do to all the other kids?
Right. Like, because it sets a precedent that everybody else is going to want to come in and put their head down.
It's the best laid plans thing. And it's like, you haven't thought it all the way through. Like, I don't know anything about this, but they said welfare made an epidemic of inner city dads leaving,
right?
Because the mom would get more money if the dad took off, so there's no incentive to try to work it out,
right?
She wasn't chasing them out, but there's less incentive to work. Or those kiosks, the information kiosks around New York,
right?
Like, what a good idea for tourists. You can plug in your phone, you make calls, and you're like, oh, homeless encampment,
right?
And you're like, oh, why even consider?
Yeah, the functional of how it actually is going to work.
Yeah.
So it's that, and then it's because it's a legal document. There's ways like where you could take something that's a legitimate disability and then be like, oh, this kid just doesn't want to do this. It's like, well, is that his defiant disorder? It's like, what are we doing? It's a defiant disorder now?
Yeah.
It's like, how about
just being a bitch? How about that?
Yeah. How about I'll work with him? I'll work with him on any of all of the disabilities and even the emotional piece of it, but you got to give something. You can't come in and just put your head down. And that's what I was dealing with a lot.
Damn,
so you'd have these meetings and the administration would go, well, why don't you adjust the goals, you know, lower them? It's like, yeah, I still need to run a functional room. So, you know, there's that. And then, so I would have, I had disagreements with the administration. And at the end of that year, that was my second year at that school, they reprimanded me. And I go, well, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with...
with the reprimand.
Yeah, I don't agree with the reprimand. I think I'm trying to do the right thing, but you're not supporting what I'm doing, because this is a wealthier district and the wealthier districts don't want to get sued. So they'll just acquiesce to anything that the parent says. So let me get this straight. I went to all this education. I have my master's degree and I'm working in this school district. And what was the point of all that if I'm just going to acquiesce to whatever a parent says because you don't want to get sued? So a lot of teachers are going through that now, where it's like you're just having to acquiesce with things that you know are wrong. You know they're wrong. It's not helping the kid. And it's like these
firings too. I'm sure that cop was like, "We got to fire you." Like, but you know, I was called as a cop, and this
football
person
coach, yeah.
And they're like, "I know," but the
his girlfriend
so much
was black. He's like, "Football." Yeah. I'm not saying he's not. Maybe
sure
there was some
like,
hidden
you know,
race
this isn't that. And I'm sure they're like, "We do."
Yeah,
we have no choice. We have to fire someone we don't want to.
Yes,
because the outrage is so great.
The outrage
we can't get through to them.
Yeah. But in this case, they were afraid of getting sued, so they would just like acquiesced. Do whatever. And I think it happens a lot now, and the administration doesn't, because there's no, when you're having that fight, there's, if you stick to your guns and you enforce, like if you enforce what is supposed to happen, you're doing the right thing, but there's no victory in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just easier to go, okay, whatever. If you're the administrator, you go, okay, whatever the parent wants, because I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want to get sued. But then the kid doesn't learn, and then you're not doing the kid any favors. The parent isn't actually doing the kid any favors. It's like the kid's going to get out in the world and think that he could manipulate every system, and you can't. I mean, we know that in the real world.
It's like doing their math homework for them.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, they'll get a better grade, which will get a better school, but they'll be less equipped to do well at that better school. So, like, what are we doing here?
Right.
A D is important.
Yeah. So the whole goal is to, you have to accommodate their disability without just, you know, going overboard and letting them do whatever they want in the name of, you know, accommodating their disability. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Because people can, you know, people abuse the system that way. They abuse it. So that's what that's the fight that you're having with the administrator. And they reprimanded me at the end of the year. And then I was like, well, I'm going to resign. And they're like, you're going to resign? I go, yeah, I'm going to resign.
Really?
And they go, you're going to resign with no job. I go, I'm absolutely going to resign with
because
no job.
Because in their world, it's like, it's all about tenureship and like,
yeah, tenure. Shit. And like, I'm like, oh, because what they also do in these kinds of jobs, even if it's a good district, they rely on you to get married, because at this time, like, people getting out, you have a relationship, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids. Once you get married, have kids, and have a house, you need that income no matter what. You have to do it for your family. So they kind of rely on you having to be in that system.
Wow.
And then it's too late to get out. Once you have all that overhead, you have a family. But fortunately, I'm broken enough to where I didn't have a family.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was able just to leave.
Ramen is cheap.
Yeah. So that's when I was about three years into stand-up doing open mics. And I was like, I'm going to go to New York and really try.
And this was in Florida or Philadelphia?
It was in Philly.
Wow. Yeah. And you're like, sweet, I'm out of this job now.
Sweet, I'm out of this job. But then I was like, should I look for another job? I was interviewing for other jobs. And then I'll never forget, DeRosa came back to the Laugh House. He was doing a weekend or something, and I was still doing the Wednesday, Thursdays, because he had just moved to New York 8 months and was living with Big J. And he goes, Mike, it's exciting up there. It's like people are talking about shows, pitching shows. Tough Crowd was a big thing. It's like, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like, he goes, and I was doing the best out of the open mics and the Thursday shows back then. And he goes, what are you doing here? Wow. What are you doing? I go, well, couldn't I just drive up to New York and stuff? He goes, just move, dude. What are you doing? Just
like,
move. He's like,
question.
You'll figure it out when you get up there.
Yeah.
Stop. What are you holding on to here? You don't have a job. Your family is not from here. Just pick up and go. Figure out a place to live and get up there.
Wow.
And it really snapped it into focus for me. I always credit him with that.
Damn.
Yeah.
I credit him with KFC at 2 a.m. He's also a guy who's like, I'm not going to eat KFC tonight. I'm not going to eat KFC. And it's like, drinking. And he's like, all right, I got to go get KFC before I go home. I'm like, damn. Two beers ago, you said. Right,
no, he immediately backtracks.
Damn, that's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
very,
like,
frustrating.
It's like the homelessness. And like, we got to do something. Like, what should we do? I'm like, I have no idea.
It's a people just won't admit. It's like, could you at least admit it's a multi-layered problem?
Yeah.
It's not just as easy as, like, no one wants to give them a home. It's like, no. It's a multi-layered problem. There's
mental
issues here. There's drug issues here. There's alcohol in addition to, like, extreme poverty. And, like, it's a multi-layered, dude. It's not that easy to solve.
Yeah, I love how that people are like, oh, New York says we'll give shelter to any homeless person. So, like, other states are, like, busting, like, drop them off in New York. And you're like, yeah, but that's not when homeless started. It's already been here.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I just wonder, like, where the country is going. It's just like, I think we're all just investigating each other and sending each other migrants. It's like, did you get the migrants I sent you for Christmas? Otherwise, I'm gonna investigate you. Did you get the migrants I sent? I sent you migrants.
Mike Vecchione's special is called The Attractives. It's on YouTube right now. Everyone should go check it out. He is one of the best comics around. And I was at the taping in Nashville. That was a lot of fun.
I was just in Nashville, and I did. I was doing Nate's podcast and Theo Vaughn's podcast, and I went to Zany's to do the Monday night new jokes. And I was out in the hallway, just kind of waiting to go on. And there's a picture of all of us that night.
Oh no!
It was a very
really?
Special picture to me. Very special because it's me, it's Katie, and it's all of you guys. We took a picture together. I don't know if you remember. It was on stage. We all took a picture together, and it's up in the headshot on the
in
wall
that hallway,
in the hallway,
right outside the green room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a very special picture to me.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, it was fun. Shane and me and Sal went.
Yeah, yeah,
and met
yeah.
Met up with the people, and it was just like a nice hang. I remember Nate's wife pretty much calling, without saying it like this, pretty much calling Shane a homo for drinking Trulies. Because she said it to me. I'm like, I'm not even drinking Trulies. Like, oh, there's another one. It's another one.
She's very funny.
Oh, I love
Laura
her.
Is very
I love
funny.
Her. I love
yeah,
her.
She always was.
Yeah,
living here
didn't
in
know
Queens.
Her back then.
Yeah, yeah,
I met her at like Bonnaroo.
Yeah, she's very funny, very sarcastic, and I like that a lot.
But what a fun time just hanging out.
That was great.
Just hanging out.
That was
drinking,
a dream.
Drinking on the bus.
It was a dream come true.
In between
man.
Shows and stuff, and
it was awesome.
Cigars.
Smoking cigars. Yeah, it was the big thing too.
Yeah, Justin had these. Cigars.
Justin had got me a gift of cigars. Justin Smith, and. We smoked them, and then we were on and off the bus. But just the whole thing, I flew my mom down for it. My mom's 82, and I flew my mom and sister down to watch the taping. So they were there, and I don't know if you met them. Did you meet them? She knows Jay because Jay's been to my house before,
right.
And they know Sal because Sal got my I got my sister backstage to meet them. They went to the Jokers when they came to town, so they know those guys. And my mom met Nate, but knew Jay, knew Dan. She knew Jay and Dan. So, but anyway, it was my mother was just like in tears. She was so touched by like how great it was. So
yeah,
it was very emotional.
It's cool having all of us there for, especially when it's a special on the road and not New York.
Yeah,
where it's like you just can't have your friends, but it's such a fun moment. It's a special, not to use that word twice, but it's a special moment.
Yeah,
and every comic relates to it. Like, you're doing a special. I've recorded a CD, even if it's just that.
Yeah,
or I want it to. Like, this is awesome. This is big.
Yeah,
well, it's the only thing that unites all of us. We all get how big a special is.
Right, and it was part of the Nashville Comedy Festival. I should mention that, and also that. People have to realize how, I think we get on podcasts and stuff and people don't realize how we're all connected sometimes. Like guys from our generation, I don't think it's happening now. I think it's changing very rapidly, but there was a camaraderie there because we all had to come up through the club system at the time. There wasn't this
waiting
individualized.
Waiting in line at the same open mics, just waiting. There's no way to get ahead without doing this system.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, you're going to the Bruco after this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll meet up with you there.
But I don't think people understand that it's years and years and years and years of that. So it's like 20 years of that. Like you came, I met you after you came from already from LA. But like I've known Jay for 20 years. I've known Joe for 20 years. Marina, like some of these other, like Marina used to do the Boston. She used to run Mondays for Tony Woods. And I knew Marina.
Wow.
Rachel Feinstein. I don't even know her last name.
Yeah.
No, fine. Rachel Feinstein.
Pretty much Feinberg.
Rachel Feinstein. Like I've known those guys for like 20
so
plus
in.
Years.
That's
time
we run a ZC and like. Where it's just like you know them by heart.
Yeah.
You just know them instead of like have met them.
But I don't know if that exists anymore where people are coming up that, I don't want to say dependent on each other, but intertwined together because you're all, you have to get out.
Doing this podcast thing, getting ahead outside of it.
Right.
But there was some separation of like, oh, you're a factory comic, I'm a store comic. We didn't run in the same circles.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're an Upper East Side comic,
yeah.
I'm a downtown West Side comic. So
that's,
like
that used to be kind of a
other.
Thing, yeah. It was like, oh, I went to the comic strip. It's like, oh, then all those guys know who I am. Even.
Right.
It's like, oh, I was in the Village for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I got to see that picture. Anyway, the special is called The Attractives. Mike Vecchione. I don't know how many times you've been on this podcast. Two at least.
Yeah, two at least.
And then you've been on yoga.
Oh, I loved yoga, man.
Those were fun.
I'm better now because I'm leaner. And one guy had a really funny comment because I was doing the yoga. He goes, Mike looks like a boiled potato. It's like, you know what? Ari. That hit me where it hurt. It's one of those things where like it like, hits you. Like, drive me. Like, it's like, yeah, yeah.
I needed that.
Dude, I'm going to lose weight, yeah.
Boiled potato. Not even potato.
Oh, my God. That guy was like soft. That guy really hit me where it hurt.
Oh. as the most evil man in comedy, I'm saying that's a solid line. All right, thanks, Mike. Everybody, right now, go watch that special. Don't even listen to the outro.
Can I say something? Yeah. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for all the support over the years and helping me. I really genuinely appreciate it. You're the most evil, but you have the biggest heart. I'll say it. I'll shout it from the mountaintops.
You're about to be canceled. Be careful. yeah, no problem. I mean, it's easy to support fucking talented people. It's hard. It's harder with fucking, you know, Bert. Bye, bye. Thanks, everybody. Okay, so I sat out here the entire time while you guys were watching and listening to Mike Vecchione on my podcast, Professor Payne. I've burned horribly. What I should have done is stopped the recording, gone inside while it played, and then come back out, but I didn't. And now I've burned my lily white skin. I didn't have a boss base tan. That's a mistake a lot of people make all summer. And I think now, or in March, it's time. You get a boss base tan, and you can tan the whole year. But you got to get that base tan, and you got to make it boss. Because if you're going to half-ass it, you're going to burn all through the summer. You get that base tan, really cook it, like you would a fucking... I'm giving you guys facts to life right now. I'm giving you keys to live your life to the best you can. Boss base tans. B-O-S-S. You know what I'm saying. Make it boss. So you get that boss base tan down. It's kind of like when you're cooking a marshmallow. Some guys will just like roast it like I will. Some guys will cook it way off the flame until it just starts to get a little yellow, then a little brown, then a little more brown. And it takes them like 15 minutes. That's what you need to do with your base tan. Now after that, you know, put some sunblock on as normal and shit like that. But you'll just bronze and bronze and bronze. I'm telling you, that's facts from your Uncle Ari. Again, go watch the fucking, what's it called right now? The Attractors Right Now by Mike Vecchione. His new special, it's out on YouTube.com on Nate Land. But we'll have a link for it in the other boxes if you're watching this on YouTube. Click subscribe right now to my YouTube as well. And go watch my special, Ari Shaffir Jew. Hold Nate to task in those comments as well. What was I going to say about it? Wait, I just had something I was going to say about it. This is recording. I was going to say... Damn it. Go watch The Attractors. Oh, and then next week, April 5th, will be Big J's Dog Belly that I helped produce. I need another name because it's not producing. It's like going over the material of the comics ahead of time, hiring everybody or hiring the people who hire people, making sure the comic is fucking, it doesn't have to worry about the fucking shit stuff that I'll worry about, but also developing the material. Engineered by? Nah. Organized by? Something. The point is, it's a great time for stand-up comedy. More new people have taped even since then. Joe List's special is coming. Mark Norman taped his special. They'll both be out. And one of the legends of stand-up comedy in New York City and really the world taped a special. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it or not. San Francisco, Cobb's Comedy Club, a couple weeks ago. And we're all very excited about that. All right. Go watch The Attractives. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Next week, Big J Oakerson will be on, and it will be on Wednesday. Prepare yourselves. Goodbye. I suggest, if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, maybe we should start doing this. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, let me see if I was on any good ones. Let me see if I was on any good new ones recently. Glassman's is good. I like Glassman's, Rick Glassman's. And Colm, he has a good one. Colm Terrell, go give that a listen. Trying to think who else. As always, the Are You Garbage, where you might be drunk. I was on both of those recently. Give Columns a fucking go. Kid needs a break. All right. And he's funny. And it was a fun hangout. I think Brenda Zisi did it recently, too. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Classroom. Teacher Lee.